This week on Barbell Shrug, we talk about the benefits of a bro sesh.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Hey, I see you sitting there, lonely by your keyboard. If you want to, just whip your fingers out, put them on your keys, type in http://www.barbellshrug.com. While you're there, swing on over, sign up for the newsletter. We'll send you some cool free stuff, and make sure to check out Overtime. It's a sweet place with a bunch of sweet stuff. And last but not least, I know you're trying to find a bitchin' t-shirt to get your mom for her birthday. Head on over to merch.barbellshrug.com. Glow.
Am I the host or the co-host?
I feel like you're just the host.
What do I do?
Okay. So better host correct. Better fucking come correct with this intro.
In 3, 2, 1. Chugga bra. Sorry, dude. You want to do it again?
Lame.
I stole it from you. Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Mike McGoldrick. Here today with Coach Kurt Mulliken, Alex Macklin, and Mike McElroy.
What's happening?
Guys, why are we here? We're here to clear some things up about the bro sesh.
Bro.
Why it's been bastardized in today's world of fitness. Why
people hate on the bro sesh.
I know.
I don't know why people hate on it so much, though.
And
we
want to talk a little bit about why it's a good thing. Why do they hate on it? What are some...
I mean, I feel like people hate on the bro sesh because it's like, well, I don't know. I just, you know, it has that stigma. You're like, you're just in the gym and it's all about looks and, you know, not about anything about like functional movement or whatever. But, you know, it definitely has its place and it's been around for, you know, forever. So it's like, you know, it's a good thing if you do it right.
Well, let's face it. We all started CrossFit at some point.
Yeah.
And we were like.
Yeah, why are you doing bicep curls?
Yeah, CrossFit went to the extreme of doing functional movements, like you said, and saying that these, you know, isolated joint movements are not as good. And so they kind of went to the extreme. We all of a sudden forgot all these other things that actually do, like you said, have a place and help with, you know, health and longevity of our joints and everything like that.
Well, not to mention, it just gets you freaking
strong.
Strong, and you look good too, man. Like, you just, I mean, you put on muscle. I mean, it's all hypertrophy, you know, based principle of training, you know, so you're just building muscle, which, you know, everybody knows, like, you know, big muscles are strong muscles. So if you have bigger muscles, you will get stronger.
Yeah, that was the other thing that CrossFit kind of went to the extreme of is measuring your fitness by strictly performance,
right,
and not body composition. And if we're all being honest, everybody wants to look better.
Everybody wants to look good with their shirt on. Come on now.
You don't want to?
I don't.
You don't want to? Look good?
It's just performance.
Of course I do. Yeah. No, I mean, the bro sesh is how I started CrossFitting.
I mean, I think everybody came from that, right? Yeah. I mean, everybody
a lot
was
of people,
like,
yeah.
Well, a lot of people did. And that's, I guess, maybe that's why it's like, well, I don't want to go back to that.
You know?
I think why I was one of those who didn't like it for a while. I thought it was bad because I was always competitive in any gym or exercise setting, and I got beat all the time by the buddies I used to live with, like lift with. They were always stronger than me.
Like CTP?
Yeah, like CTP. It can do like freaking 40
I know,
40
yesterday.
Curls.
We did some curls yesterday, and I went to pick up, what was it, like a 50-pound dumbbell? 40? And you did
20. 20 reps.
Was it? You just picked up a 40-pound dumbbell and did 20 reps. I got 10 in and was like, how'd you do this? Like, are you cheating? What's up?
Well, yeah. Yesterday we did this thing called the gauntlet, which is some like tricep, like dumbbell extension when you're laying on the floor and you set up like, what, I think like 30, was it 30, 25?
Down to
10, like 5 pounds each dumbbell down to 10. And you try to do, you start with 30, you try to do like 20 reps of each at each weight. And I'm sitting there doing like, you know, I got to like maybe, I lost count, but like maybe like 18 on 30. And then I started to go to the rest and I'm like, I'm doing like 2 and 3. And this fool over here is like knocking out 20 at each weight. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, it was pretty cool. But I mean, that's the kind of stuff. It's like, it can be fun. It can be, and that's another thing I think is like, you know, bro set stuff. It's fun. You know, there's a lot of variation. Like there's so much stuff you can do and it just makes it interesting. Like your training.
Yeah, it's not only applied to just aesthetics, too, and we'll touch more on that, but, like, it could be help for your sport that you're training for. It could be very specific to that sport. What exactly is a bro sesh? Like, what are we defining it as? Is it just going in and focusing on getting as much of a pump as possible? Is it working on getting a certain muscle group stronger? Like, what do you guys consider an actual bro sesh? Is it, do you have to have bros present? Can you bro out alone?
Can you bro with girls? I think you can.
I think we all probably have our own definition.
For sure.
Well, what's your definition?
To me, it's something that you're doing just maybe a little bit outside of the ordinary.
trying to improve structure or size of a certain muscle group and with a buddy, you know, stuff that we're not always doing curls, we're not always doing bench press and stuff like that, but it's time that you take out of your regular training to improve and have a little bit of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I mean, I don't think it necessarily have to do it with, you know, a bro or like a friend or whatever.
I think you do.
You gotta have somebody spot. No, like
you gotta have Chad to high five you.
if you don't ask for a spot from at least one person, it's not a bro set.
I mean, what if you have a mirror?
Curls.
I mean, that's what mirrors are for. You just do it, you know, in front of the mirror.
The mirror is spotting you.
Yeah, the mirror spot. Yeah.
But, thanks, man.
I mean, I think you could do it by yourself, but you know, it's definitely way fun if you have a friend, but. I mean, I think doing a bro session is more working on I like to use it to work on weaknesses and imbalances. Like, you know, like I do a lot of weightlifting, and you know, weightlifters notoriously, you know, very imbalanced when it comes to like posterior chain, like from like the glutes and the hams, because everything we do is so quad dominant. So like, you know, when your glutes and hams and shit are weak, then, you know, you open yourself up for like back injuries and stuff. So, you know, even doing things like RDLs and good mornings and things like that, like I consider that being bro session because it's not, you know, snatch, clean, and jerk squat.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. That's kind of what I think. Any kind of focused training to bring up a weakness to help balance out with the rest of your body is, to me, considered what I consider kind of a bro session. So anytime where you're kind of isolating a certain area or muscle group to focus on bringing that strength up, would be considered a bro sesh to me.
Yeah, I like to use it as like a deload, honestly, because sometimes when I'm like training for a CrossFit competition or I feel really beat up or I'm injured maybe, like it's a great time to go in and just get some isolated movements in. Mentally, it's kind of a break.
Yeah, mentally, it's a break.
Like, you just feel really good.
It's less taxing.
Get that pump.
Yeah, it's not as taxing on the joints. Like, everything about it just kind of feels really good. So,
yeah.
That's when I really like to apply it.
Yeah, you get that pump, man. You feel, like, awesome stepping out of the gym. You're just, like, you feel like you can take on the world. You feel, like, huge and inflated and shit.
I feel awesome. I feel like I was still the... Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I still feel the need for there to be, like, a lot of neon and consumption, mass consumption of supplements.
Like, can you smile in a bro session? Do you have to be like, fuck all you. I don't care.
Well, it's all business. You got to be all business. Even in your gym, you got to be all business. So, I mean, but it is. I think it's a lot of fun. And yeah, the variation, like there's so much you can do. Like there's so many exercises, so many variation. Like it's never, you can never get bored. I think like if you know enough variation and like it can mentally, like you can have new chances to like get new PRs and stuff. Like if you know, max out your, or you get a new PR on your incline bench press or whatever the hell, like, you know, like it's a good way to like, oh man, I get stronger this week. So.
Yeah. Well, what are you exactly looking for in a bro sesh? Like, is it that specific muscle pump? Like, so if you hit that muscle pump in any training, is it, oh, it's a bro sesh. Like what
you
exactly
do 100
goes
pull-ups on? For time and you get a pump, is it a bro sesh?
I call it a bro sesh. Why not? No, I know what you mean. But, like, yeah, I think it's cool. We all have our own definition. But
yeah.
I think the biggest thing that we could all agree on is having that pump.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Arnold says it best.
I'm coming all time. All day. I'll say it.
Day
you
and
watch,
night.
You watch freaking Pumping Iron Man. You got to watch that movie if you haven't watched that movie, man. That's a classic. That is a classic movie.
Yep.
If you lift, you have to watch that movie. I'm sorry.
Believe it or not, I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. Like, how's
I believe
that possible?
It.
Okay, we have to fix this right now.
Third like, show in
it's
a row
on
reference.
It's on Netflix. We got to fix this shit right now. Like, that's probably, like, the best. Like, there's so many quotes in that movie you got to go for.
How many times have I said a movie quote in front of you and you just didn't even laugh? You laughed for sympathy because you didn't even get it, though.
I mean, I don't
probably
know.
A bunch.
I didn't know it was a movie quote, so I don't know.
That's so funny. Yep. So, yeah. So with that said, like the pump, exactly. like scientifically, what's going on, right? So why? How do we actually get that pump? What is it we're looking for? Like, can you just go do like a heavy back squat and get a pump? Like, is it reps? Like, what?
I mean, it typically what it is this is just a lot of blood flow is going into your muscles. So like, you know, when you train, your body is using energy. It needs fuel. Your heart is going to pump more blood to the muscles that are working. So, you know, when you work a muscle, especially with like, you know, bro sesh, bodybuilding type, you know, rep schemes where you're doing like 8 to 12 reps at, you know, a moderately heavy weight, you know, you're going to start working that muscle like a lot.
Yeah. You're producing a lot of
toxins.
But
that's the point. You're supposed to work that muscle, break it down so you can, so it will grow stronger. It will grow bigger and grow stronger.
Yeah. What's the super word that we're looking for? Hypertrophy.
Hypertrophy. Yay. You know, it took me forever.
Wish I had a little bell. Like, it's the word of the day. Ding, 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 ding,
ding. It took me, I hate to admit this, but it took me forever to figure out how to pronounce that word. I was like, hypertrophy.
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Yeah. Like,
I still do.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, like the muscle that you're working gets a ton of toxins in there as well. Like, it's producing a lot of waste. So, again, your body needs more blood flush to it to help try and get that out. You're producing nitrogen. It's going to help. It's going to decrease the size of your capillaries. Like, it's going to allow even more blood in there. So that's why you get a lot of that pressure, that pain.
Yep.
So more blood is being flushed over and over. The more work you do, that's how you get the muscle to blow up.
You just feel awesome.
So does it mean, though, did you do anything special or extra because you have the pump? Or what did you achieve by getting the pump?
Oh, that's a good question. So the more fatigue, the muscle.
You look good for the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's a damn good time to take
define,
a selfie.
Define achievement. Yeah. Define achievement. Like,
yeah.
Like mechanically, or do you mean mentally too? Because I feel great.
Well, I think like Arnold said, he always chased the pump. He was always thinking about getting it while he was training. But I don't think there's any actual.
No, that's not true. Because what he said, and if you remember what he was saying, is that if you don't stress the muscle, muscles have to have stress to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if you do not stress the muscle to the point where it wants to scream.
But is there proof that the pump alone does anything?
Well, that's just the after effect, basically. Yeah. That's the after effect of putting the muscle through that gauntlet, if we're going to call it that.
Yeah.
Putting the muscle through that kind of stress so it will be coaxed to grow because it's not going to grow otherwise.
I wouldn't say that the pump is necessarily doing the same damage. Now, the pump is the after effect, like you said, because you could get on an Aerodyne and do a bunch of sprints and get a crazy big pump in your legs.
Or 100
pull-ups.
But you're
probably not going to grow any mass in your quads, right? So with that said, like hypertrophy training is like the most popular word you would hear to put on mass. Like, what exactly is hypertrophy? Like, what's a good definition? How many reps would that be?
Yeah, it's hypertrophy is growth of the muscle.
Yep.
So, you know, and then typically for that type of training, yeah, you would do, you know, sets of 8 to 12 reps, you know, with a moderately heavy weight, something that you can do 8 to 12 reps with. And, you know, by the end of it, you're struggling to get that 12th rep. You know?
Right. So what about loading on that? So a lot of people think, all right, 8 to 12, well, exactly how heavy do I go? Well, they have percentages for that. But if you think about it, if you're trying to do the most muscle damage, if you go too heavy on a set of 8 to 12, you're not going to be able to repeat that with short rest for multiple sets, right?
No.
So if you did a set of 8 to 12, you rested a minute and then tried to come back and do that, and you went too heavy, you're not going to be able to do it, right? It's more neurological. It's less metabolic, meaning like it's working the muscle less and more of the nervous system. So you got to keep that in mind too, that the load needs to be manageable that you can repeat over and over to get a good pump, to get a lot of muscle breakdown.
Plus, you have to have good technique too. Like I think a lot of the stigma with these bro sesh type movements is just because you see people like on – you know, making fun of people doing partial reps and, you know, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And then you're like, what is this? Like, just what are you doing? But, you know, like technique is important too. Like getting range of motion, getting the range of motion right. Because if you don't do the proper range of motion, you're not going to train the muscle correctly. And it's not going to grow the way you want it to grow.
Yeah. So, and if you're looking at two other than just the reps and sets, you got to look at time under tension. So, asking about what weight to use, it depends on if you're doing, maybe you're only doing 5 reps, but you're going really slow on the way down, really slow on the way up, which is going to be a different weight that you're going to use for a set of 15 at a fast rate. And it's going to feel different too. The pump's going to feel different. Everything's going to feel different about it. I think we're going to get into that a little bit later as far as how to actually apply that to, you know, how that applies to your sport or what sport you're looking for, what you're trying to get better at.
Yeah.
But different times of training calls for different styles of hypertrophy training, whether it's slow tempo or fast tempo, and basically 60 to 90 seconds or so of time under tension is really what we're looking for beyond reps and sets.
Well, what about, so you mentioned range of motion, like we're talking about what if you want to do it just to get the pump? Like, what are the benefits of doing that? What are the disadvantages of that? So like, why would you want to do full range of motion on things if they say that you can get a better pump after just doing like partial reps? Like, what's the difference?
Well, I think one of the things you mentioned earlier is that it feels better on our joints, and it's only going to feel better on our joints if we're going through that full range of motion. If we're always going through that partial range of motion long term, that's going to shorten our tendons and make our joints and stuff feel worse.
Yeah.
So as long as we have to be going through that full range of motion to keep the body healthy and keep it long-term healthy
instead of just all of a sudden shortening. And that elbow can't even just be like this, just can't even extend
it. Yeah, so not just for general health, but for longevity too. Like you talked about earlier, like building a bigger base, right? So doing full range of motion exercises, making sure that you're doing the bro reps correctly.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to help build a bigger base so you can just build strength more long-term.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a time, and there's always a time and a place for everything. There's a time and a place for partial reps. I know a lot of, you know, especially like powerlifters, they train a lot with partial reps. Like, there's a time and a place for that. But, like, if you're trying to go for, you know, muscle growth and, you know, strength and, you know, like you were mentioning, like the joints, like, yeah, I mean, train full range of motion, go through the technique properly, and then you'll get the benefit of that bro session. You know, it's not just you're trying to chase a pump. You want to get the true benefit, which is the muscle growth and, you know, the strengthening of the muscle.
Yeah, I mean, most of us here and the people listening are going to be either probably weightlifters or CrossFitters, and you have to have really good range of motion for either one of those sports. Yeah. I mean, if you're a weightlifter and you start getting less range of motion, it's going to – I don't care how strong you get, it's going to make everything worse. And same thing with CrossFit. I mean, if you get worse range of motion, it's going to affect you somewhere down the line. So making sure that's still a top priority is always important.
Yeah, what about – specifically in CrossFit, what about females? Like, where can they benefit from using more of these types of sessions that would help them in CrossFit?
Yeah, I use it a lot with my females. They'll do kind of a normal kind of CrossFit style session, and then they'll follow it up with some of this stuff, specifically trying to get them stronger in the upper body, because upper body weakness is a huge problem, and or not a problem, but it's a separator in the CrossFit field. So if you have a female who's just as good a shape and just as strong as this one, but this one's better upper body stuff, they're going to surpass them, because CrossFit prescription is going to be the same upper body volume for guys and girls, and typically girls don't have that upper body background. So putting this in where they are doing tricep-specific stuff and bicep-specific stuff where they can handle, you know, higher volume ring dips and things like that is going to be a huge carryover.
Yeah, our pull-up program has a lot of bicep curls in it. Just because, just for variety too, but to get to focus more on isolating the bicep. So
it has a lot of isometric stuff. Isometric holds.
We need a good name for a female bro session.
I just called it brunch earlier.
Brunch. I like that. I feel like that is.
We need to make a post and ask. I want to hear what the ladies.
Yeah, I wonder what. Yeah, I wonder what is the female version of the bro sesh?
Do they the same?
Would they get together
name.
And do it, or do they just work out on their own? Do they know about bro sesh?
I don't know.
Definitely.
Or is it when they get together and do glutes or abs, or is it different?
I don't know. But, yeah, like you were saying, like that's a great point, like with the upper body strength development. I mean, if you can't get a pull-up, then, you know, doing accessory movements and assistance movements, like the bodybuilding type movements, can probably help you, you know, build that upper body muscularity and strength that you need to get the pull-up.
Yeah, and again, the longevity of it, if you have high-level female athletes and they're training for the sport and they're maybe in their off-season, or if we're always doing a ton of kipping pull-ups and kipping handstand push-ups and all that stuff, it's going to be really taxing on the joint. But we can't just quit doing that in the off-season. We have to prepare their body long-term. So we can maybe do tri-sets where we're doing like close-grip bench press followed by tricep extensions followed by a handstand hold, just a wall-facing static handstand hold, which is going to give you that pump if you go back-to-back-to-back. And it's also going to keep the joints healthier and safer, and it's also going to prepare you for when you do have to get into those high-volume intensity sets like classic CrossFit stuff, you're going to be well-prepared for that.
Yeah, I think the more advanced you get, so like intermediate to advanced athletes, that's when you really need to start like doing more accessory-type, you know, bro-sesh-type movements, because you're trying to maximize – everything. You're trying to optimize everything. Like you've already got that low hanging fruit. You're not a newbie anymore. Like the effects of training are not going to be the same. You've got to do the extra work to bring everything else up so you can keep making continued progress.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting to note that we were just talking about girls and guys and the programs are both very different. I mean, you know, I gained over 25 pounds just doing a lot of stuff like bent over rows.
Pulls. During the muscle gain challenge.
Yeah. During the muscle gain challenge. So, you know, we don't do curls and stuff in that for the most part, but there's a lot of bent over rows, there's a lot of pressing and bench pressing, pulls and stuff like that. So I think guys early on can benefit greatly from those types of bro sessions, whereas girls maybe earlier on need to focus more on the upper body limiting stuff.
What about, so if you're a beginner, how intense do you want these sessions to be? So I'm talking, we're still in like the 8 to 12 rep range. Like, are they going to failure on each set, or are they kind of sticking to a lower percentage? Are they backing off? What's your experience? In my experience, we've always had beginners go to failure because, for one, it's not as taxing to them because they're just not that heavy yet. Like, they're not going that strong.
And what do you mean by muscle? Right, so maybe explain by
they're
muscle failure.
Not going that heavy, they're not that strong.
I think some people may not know what that. Can you talk a little bit about?
I mean,
about
where
what?
You're literally failing a rep.
Right. Yeah. So muscle failure, you cannot lift the rep anymore.
You are muscle actually failure. Failing. Yeah. So it could be done with isometrics. It could be on your 12th rep. That's why we say 8 to 12 rep range. It gives you that window to kind of fall in. So maybe the first three sets you got to 12 reps. Third set you only got to 8. That's okay. Yeah. But you need to go to failure for that maximal
physical
growth.
Failure, not mental failure. Don't pussy out and shit.
I asked you a question into and a little start bit, talking. Sorry, go ahead.
It goes into a little bit of why beginners can go to failure more often is because they don't have that neurological connection to be able to really push to true failure. Whereas the more advanced you get, the more able you're able to fire your muscles better, so you can go deeper into that physical failure, and it's more taxing. So the beginners don't really know their true potential, and they think they're at failure. So you tell them to go to failure, and they're still getting a good workout with not overly taxing their body and their joints.
Yeah, if you put a high percentage on the bar or a moderately high percentage and told a beginner, hey, do 12 reps, and you have me go do 12 reps, like, I'm going to be laying on the ground.
Right. Yeah, I'll be dead, man. Like a 10-rep, dude, 10-rep max back squat. Up. Oh, shit. Like, I
and they'll get
walk.
Done and be like, I think that's all I got.
Like, I'm done, man. That's it.
So it does. It doesn't necessarily get easier the more advanced you get. It's definitely going to get harder.
It's painful.
So just keep that in mind, too.
Yeah. I think I like to do, for my accessory work in Bro Sesh, I think doing it just like, four times a week. Alternate. I used to do like four times a week, alternate upper body and lower body. Doing all upper body on one day and doing all lower body on one day, and then just pick one or two exercises. It doesn't have to be like, you're already training. Like, this stuff should go on top of your training, it can just be totally all your training if you want it to be. But if you're a weightlifter or prop power fit or power fitter.
That sounds awesome. I want to do that. Yeah.
Or CrossFitter. You're already training. You're already doing probably a lot of volume and, high intensity. So it's not supposed to, like, totally just wreck you. Like, it's supposed to help you. So, I like to just do, like, one or two movements in three sets of 8 to 12. That's it. And, the movements vary each time. Like, I have basically a list of movements. And, sometimes, I get – cherry pick, but I like to do what I like to do. But having those lists of movements or doing one or two,
let me be me. I just want to be me.
At this point, what you need to work on, so do it. So that's why I'm always doing my damn rear foot elevated split squats to work on this weak ass of mine. So but that's what I do. So one or two exercises. That's it.
What about we talked tempo, but we didn't really say why you need to do tempo. So what exactly is it, and why do you need more tempo?
Well, one of the things I was about to bring up was kind of coming back from an injury, or if you have an injury and how that applies, and tempo kind of goes hand in hand with that. Like, if you have tendonitis in an area, maybe say you have tendonitis in your elbow, there's research that says doing slow eccentrics only, or just a slow tempo on the way down, which eccentric is where the muscle is getting stretched as you're working it. So it's getting stretched through that range of motion as you're actually working the muscle, which is going to help with that inflammation in that tendon. So whether you have coming back from an injury or whether you just need to work on structure or good movement patterns, that slowing down that tempo is going to control the movement, like I said, on the way down where the muscle is getting longer as you're working it. And it's breaking down the muscle, which is going to help you get stronger. And it's a more controlled environment, so it's going to be safer. Yeah. Long term, and help you develop that movement pattern. So if your squat positions aren't great, if you go really slow on the way down, it forces you to concentrate on that perfect position.
Yeah. And I like it too because of the total time under tension when you add tempo to a movement. So if you did a back squat set of 10 and you just did them at regular speed as fast as you can, it might take 20 seconds, 25 seconds? Right, if you just kept constantly moving.
Depends on what kind of shape you're in.
or if you, like, pause at the top, right? So you're not under any tension when you're at the top.
I mean, you are, really.
But you know what I mean. It's not the same as, like,
you're not loaded. Yeah.
Right? Versus if you put a set of 10 on a 4-0-4-0 tempo, that's 8 seconds down, or it's 4 seconds down, 4 seconds up. That's 8 seconds of muscle tension times 10 reps. That's 80 seconds.
That's a long time.
Versus a set of 25 to 30 seconds on the other one, that's way more tension on the muscle.
Yeah.
So you're going to be less than 50% on the 4-0-4-0.
It's going to be way lighter Yeah, but it's going to blow that muscle up.
Yeah, I definitely think on the injury, you know, the injury prevention, you know, it's funny because I'm telling a little story, but back in high school, I ran track and, you know.
You ran?
I ran. I did run. There was a time where I ran, okay? I ran the.
On purpose?
I did. It was on purpose.
I ran track once. One time.
I did the 4 and the 8, man. And so we had a track coach, Coach Frost, and he was all about – first of all, he's all about bro sesh. He was that was his thing.
I like this
But
guy.
He was like 5 seconds down, 5 seconds up. Like every rep had to be like super slow.
Sounds like a great coach.
If we were doing it too fast, he'd be like, that's too fucking fast. Like, that's exactly how he talked too. And he used to be smoking cigarettes in the gym while we were training. It was funny. But that was more for – he wasn't trying to get us, like, super jacked and big. I mean, he was, but, like, it was more about injury prevention.
Yeah
it's more about building a healthy, strong muscle so you don't get injured, because we were doing so much running and volume. Like, it's that, you know, you're going – it's very taxing on the body.
Yeah, it's very good for new athletes or young athletes. It's very good for that because, again, you develop that good movement pattern.
Yeah. And, of course, at the time, we were like, this is bullshit. We just want to bench press, fast. Like, you know, really fast.
I mean, it's an old school thing.
It is old school thing.
If you look up, like, old school German volume training or Garanda's 8x8, stuff like that, all those guys are doing, like, 4-second eccentrics on, like, bench and squat and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything I've learned about tempo and body comp training has been from Poliquin. Those are all great resources. What if you don't have any equipment? Like, you're traveling. Like,
that's not an excuse.
You still want to get a bro sesh.
That's not an excuse.
No, I'm being creative with, like, what other exercises can you do? Yeah. Like, gymnastic-wise, isometrics. Can you still have a bro sesh with holds?
Yes. Yep.
Do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you still get a pump doing actual static holds at
You got
range.
A pump yesterday doing 90-90 holds.
I did. I had like, 8 sets of
What's a 90-90 hold?
So, I'm hanging from a pull-up bar in a supinated grip, and I had to hold 90 degrees here, 90 degrees, and I had to hold an L-sit. It was 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, and I had to
do it.
Ring isometric, ring support holds for 30 seconds, and it was 8 sets of it. It was a lot of volume, and I was blown up, blown up.
But you feel fine today, right?
Yeah, not
so
at all.
As opposed to doing 8 sets of 30 chest to bar pull-ups and 30 ring dips.
Yeah. Well, there was no eccentric loading, so rarely am I sore from isometric holding and only contraction stuff. So it's the eccentric that gets you really sore typically.
Yeah. Any holds. I mean, you know, like the other day yesterday I was doing some hollow body holds, and those things will light you up. Like they will light your core up. Like you know, core training is great. I mean, if you're gonna do a bro sesh, then if you're gonna do anything, you need to work on some core stability stuff.
Abs are always like the cherry on top.
Yeah.
Like, always got put it at the end of the session.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then
it's a blowout. It's like I'm just gonna do 300 of this one.
And you get to 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
What about you? Like, what's your kind of favorite go-to bro session type movements? I feel like we all have one, so we should talk about this.
I will say that as far as, like, super bro-y stuff, relatively new to it, so I've been weightlifting for quite a while, and I've just really started getting after the whole –
Just getting into those bro-ish.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's been really refreshing because it gives me something different to do, maybe new metrics to chase.
You're a baby bro.
I'm a baby bro. You can tell by the size of these cannons.
Yeah,
but,
bro.
I have my favorite things to do. I love doing posterior chain work, but – because I'm good at it.
But you are good at it.
I know. So honestly, like,
but that's
honestly,
what
like, that's what I'm saying. Like, feeling the pump, although I don't think there's, like, this huge, like, physical benefit from just getting the pump, like, I feel so much better, like, just with that feeling when I leave the gym. So, like, man, I've been doing 21s. I'm not going to lie. We've all done them. You know, the curls, you do 7.
That's what this episode is dedicated to, making you not feel bad about that.
Yeah. I think we should.
You don't have to lie.
We should cash this episode out with a set of 21s, guys.
21s? So. Well, yeah, what's the 21s?
Yeah, that's where you do, like, the curls. You're doing, like, the top half, 7, bottom half, 7, then full range of motion for 7.
Oh, shit.
And man, it's brutal. I've seen people do it at front squats, which is crazy brutal. Yeah, but you want a quad pump, yeah. You were just under tension for so long, so I think we should try something.
So your favorite is the 21s. You've been rocking the 21s.
Yeah, and I really suck at them, man. My biceps and triceps, they just feel really weak. But
CDP, that was CDP quoting.
But yeah, it's like a whole new
CT Fletcher.
Yeah, I sit the dumbbells down, and that Aladdin song comes on. It's like whole new world.
Get out of here.
My favorite is lying tricep extensions. I mean, the
yeah.
Not only do they get your arms bigger, But there's a huge carryover to the sport, and obviously that's kind of where my bias is. But
I use those with females and males
in the sport. I mean, finishing out the ring dip, finishing out lockout overhead, all that stuff is a huge carryover. So that's my favorite.
Yeah, people like, that's the thing. Like, this stuff is useful because, like, if your triceps are weak as shit, then your lockout's going to suck. Like, it is going to suck.
I think that was my problem.
Yeah. Oh, you're a weak-ass lockout?
Yeah. And it's like, I almost don't even care what I'm doing in the bro sesh, just because it's like this whole new feeling to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Right?
I like doing, you know, if I find like a regular, like a Globo gym, I like going and
cable
doing
extensions.
Just
with the rope.
The rope and then turn it out.
Turn out the head of the tricep.
Yep.
The horseshoe.
And then you look in the mirror and you see yourself doing it too. You're just like,
that's the thing though. This is the stance. You need to get in the stance.
Yeah. You got to get in the stance. This is hips back.
Does it do anything?
I mean, who cares?
I've always done it.
It carryovers to the hang position of a clean.
Yeah.
And when I give that cue to people in the gym, I'm like, it's like you're trying to pee with a boner. It's that same, like.
Yeah, you got to stick the butt out and get like right there. That's
you got
how
the
you
ropes.
Do it.
That's,
yep, the
that's
ropes.
It.
Always the ropes. Always.
Pee with a boner?
Yeah.
Ropes.
What about you, MG? What?
Are we talking about like bro acceptable movements? Like, would I do this in a Globo gym?
What's your favorite? Like, what's your favorite?
So overall, wall facing handstand hold, because that was what I did most recently.
Okay,
that
so
absolutely
so
bros up shoulders and triceps.
So you're a cross bro.
I'm a cross bro.
That is gross.
No, I'm a what do you call it? Power fitter.
Power fitter.
Yeah.
I feel like we should call it that now. Power fitter.
I don't know if it's how I'm built, but everything blows me up. Like, I get a pump doing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pumping right now.
You're just pumped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calf raises?
The carryovers is crazy. Like, you know, like just having stronger, if you're only as strong as, you know, your weakest link. So, you know, if you, and like a lot of people do this, like powerlifters, weightlifters, like a lot of weightlifters do accessory bodybuilding type movements. Like, you see the video of Liu Xiaojun doing like his plate lateral raises with like, you know, 10 kilos
and
looking awesome. Like, look at the dude's back. Look at his back. Okay.
Yeah. I think what the difference is maybe you see that and you think he's probably doing it for something.
Yeah.
And it,
well, yeah.
It, for some reason, it gives more merit when you're not doing it
for looks only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, whatever. Like, I'm not judging anyone. Like, if you're doing it just for looks, that's awesome. Whatever. But for some reason, people act like you have to be doing it for like a sport be cool. But that's not the case.
Because there's the stigma of it being bad if you're doing it for looks, like you said. And it's, I don't know why that is. Everybody has it. They're just in
denial.
That's
why we all started working out in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like we said earlier, like, who doesn't want to look good? Who works out just to say that?
100%
I mean,
performance
is awesome. Yes, you want to perform. But, damn it, you want to look good, too. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with nothing wrong with that. Like,
And you brought up lateral raises and stuff like that. We didn't even talk about shoulder health, and especially in the sport of CrossFit and in weightlifting. Like, shoulder get beat up in this sport.
Yeah.
So, I mean, accessory stuff for the shoulders is huge importance.
Yeah.
Like I said, that doesn't have to be external rotation, which it can, there's a place for that, but it can be handstand holds and different static holds like that, that there's a huge carryover to being safe.
So I guess to recap, like, we brought up, you know, what exactly the bro sesh is in our definition.
I love this talk. This talk was awesome. This is so much fun talking about this type of stuff, you know.
What defines the bro sesh? Like, does it have to be in a gym with mirrors? Can it be wherever? No, I mean, it's up to you, really. You know, your own personal definition.
Be your own bro.
Again, I like touching on the health aspects of it or injury prevention.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my favorite reason for it for most. And not just mechanically, but mentally, too, because it is such like a stress relief when you go in, you're like, man, I just get to get a pump today. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about what's on the bar. Like, you don't have to worry about just go in there and lift some shit and feel good when you leave.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot less stressful.
I know you're recapping. We didn't even talk about the benefits as far as fat loss goes. Building for hypertrophy and females using this to build for hypertrophy and the benefits of increasing, you know, testosterone and IGF-1 and stuff and this having a fat loss carryover. When I have strictly fat loss clients, this is the kind of training that they're doing. And it's something that gets overlooked, and they think that they're, because they're training like this, they need to be doing more and more cardio.
They have to be in pain to lose weight.
And you could totally do this stuff like and make it intense. Yeah. Like, yeah. you can do yeah. circuit training, like, where you don't take that much rest. You do supersets and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be like, all right, do this, and then I'm going to sit there and go to the water fountain. Like, it yeah. doesn't have to be like that. It can be high intensity.
Yeah, you can even ride it as a 30-minute AMRAP.
Yeah.
If I ride as a 30-minute AMRAP and give you eight
I'll be freaking
rear foot elevated split squats and pin lay rows and chin over bar holds, you're not going to be moving that fast.
That's
you're
going
to be doing
that's the
German
premise,
body comp.
Yeah, I mean, that's the premise and basis of what shredded and bikini are.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's a lot of movement with a lot of tempo with very short rest.
And that right? what CrossFit is too, you know, like pretty much.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a mix, but you know, mainly geared towards fat loss for sure. Like we're getting as much muscle on you as possible because for one, the more muscle you have, you're going to burn more calories
yep.
at a rest all day long, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing to build muscle if you want to lose weight. It's okay.
Yeah. Yep. That post-exercise oxygen consumption. Somebody asked about that on Instagram.
What'd you call it?
That's what that is. What? Epoch.
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 Epoch. Yeah. I've yeah. never heard that term. Very cool.
It's a term.
I thought he misspelled. I thought he wanted to spell epic. But yeah.
You guys have anything else you want to add?
No, man. Man, like I said, this I love talking about
ton
this
of benefits.
Stuff. This is
yeah.
so, like, BroSesh is so beneficial and gets so much hate, but don't hate on
bring
the
back the BroFesh.
Yeah. yeah.
Don't hate on
set
it.
Set aside
bro-fest.
A time.
Embrace it.
It's just, it's
we're
not
having
something.
A BroFest.
Yeah. BroFest, BroSesh, whatever, brunch, whatever you want to call it. Like,
brunch.
Do it.
It's
do
not,
it.
It's not something that you're going to see, you know, in your affiliates programming, probably.
Mine did.
Yeah, like if you have a group setting and you're trying to do a CrossFit workout, you're probably not going to have a ton of bro sessions in there. So get together with some bros after class and knock one out a couple times a week.
Or some lady bros.
We yeah. literally had it in our last meso at our gym. We had one day a week, we had it labeled bro session. Then we had it done and everybody did
that's
it together.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome. Did you yeah. actually go to you stayed in the gym? You didn't go to like a
– No,
like
it was
a,
after
like –
it was like we did some strength work. We did a little conditioning
go
and then we
golds.
Did a bro session.
Take a trip to LA
some of
fitness.
My clients yep. I design, I've got like – you know, some structural stuff, conditioning, and then the bottom it says pump sesh.
Yeah.
Nice.
And this is where they have some fun with it.
Pump
nice.
Sesh.
Very cool.
Cool. Very cool. Thanks,
right.
guys.
Thanks for listening.
We got to do a set of 21s now.
Yep.
yeah.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
That was fun job, guys.
That's going to be a good episode.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really
a lot of good information.
It was.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, like, start recapping.